Morning. Guess microphone's working. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Almighty God, we thank you that we can gather together as believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds up to your word. May it be food for our bodies and souls. May it minister to each one of us. We give you the praise and the glory, lifting you up in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to open up your Bibles this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I read this story once about Abraham Lincoln. During the Civil War, the president wanted to get a firsthand glimpse of how things were progressing. And he was handed over to a certain commander. His name, last name was Holmes. Now he was to take him up to the front lines. That's where he wanted to go first. Now, Abraham Lincoln, you know, was a very tall individual, and he, to make matters worse, he was known for wearing this really tall stove hat. As he was in the bunker, he thought he wanted to get a better look, so he wanted to peek up over the ridge. Well, as he did that, all of a sudden, bam, 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 shots rang out. Well, the commander reached over and grabbed him and pulled him down and said, he said, "Get down, you fool." So they went back to the camp, and the commander began to take them around to other parts of the camp, show them around, whatever, you know, the president wanted. Well, the young man began thinking about what had happened, and he realized, I called the president a fool. He thought about it the whole time as he's taking him around to all the different places. He's wondering, what's the consequences going to be for these words that I spit out of calling the president a fool? He thought in horror, what would be the penalty? And just as Abe Lincoln was about to leave, he winked and he said, "Goodbye, Captain Holmes. I'm glad you know how to talk to a civilian. As we look at this passage this morning, our focus is going to be on your mind, your thoughts, maybe some influences, maybe some sources. I want you to look at this machete here. I didn't bring it in because of the advice of my wife. I really was looking forward to bringing the machete in and pulling it out of the sheath and showing you this machete. But she said it would be better if you didn't. Yeah. Now this machete, it can be used as a tool, but it can also be used as a weapon, depending on who's holding it. It's a carnal weapon. It's made out of a physical material. It can be used against a whole lot of things, but against thoughts, it doesn't work. It's useless against the devil. The Apostle Paul tells us that while we walk in the flesh, in his physical bodies, this is not how we fight as believers. He makes it clear that though our weapons are mighty through God, these weapons are mighty for three things. One, the pulling down of strongholds. Two, the casting down of imaginations and things that oppose God. And three, the one that we're going to spend most of our attention on is bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In some cases, these things are going to overlap. The first thing you realize that you see in the scriptures is that these things are our weapons. We are the ones in control. We control the weapons. The weapons do not control us. And the same is true with our thoughts. We are not defenseless. We're vulnerable if we don't arm ourselves, however. For a list of armor, you can go look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure you've all heard them before. It's truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. We have things going on around us that we don't even know. Things that take place in the spiritual realm that we are just not privy to. They're invisible to us, but they're there nonetheless. In the end of Daniel had this disturbing dream. And so he sought the Lord for an answer. What was going on with this dream? So he began fasting and praying. And in verse 10 of chapter 12, he has an angel come to him and he begins talking. And the angel says, "Fear not, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, thy words were heard. And I am come from thy words. The prince of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days." So you see, Daniel, he prayed, he sought God for an answer why he was having these visions and what was the interpretation of them. But it took 21 days for that answer to get to him, for that angel to make it to him. When I think of strongholds, I think of places like castles, strong places to house people, but they also can hold you captive. I think of the child that had a devil in the Gospels. The disciples couldn't cast out that devil, but Jesus said, "This kind comes out only through prayer and fasting." I think of Legion, a man who had 1,000 devils. Chains could not hold this man back, but Jesus set him free. I think of communism. It's a government that's so against God, it totally wants to control and contain people. The second item we're going to talk about is casting down imaginations. We live in a unique time of unthinkable technology. Things you can see and hear on the internet, you really just can't believe what you're seeing with your own eyes anymore. With photoshopping, you can make yourself or anyone say or do anything. You can make bodies, faces more attractive than they really are. You can make things disappear that were there. I purposely avoid certain apps or certain accounts because the deception can abound to just beyond your comprehension. In fact, it even is affecting Hollywood. With AI nowadays, they're talking about producing movies and things without the actors to save money. So much takes place on TV as well. It's in shows, it's in commercials. Think about it. In reality, what you're seeing and hearing are just realities, or just copies, rather, of the real thing. They're distortions. I can take a picture of someone, I can show you that picture, but the person's still over here. These things are often exaggerations that you see on TV. How many times have you bought a product only to be disappointed because it doesn't meet your expectations? Another place that deception can thrive is in your mind, and that's the third topic that it's mentioned. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, before I get started, I'd like to say, as Brandon mentioned a few weeks back, even talking about prayer, this concerns thoughts as well. You don't have to pray about everything. You don't have to be afraid of everything. Not everything you think or passes through your mind needs to cause alarm. I kind of liken it unto the parable of the fisherman. He goes out into the sea and he casts a net. And they bring that net in. And what do? They keep what's edible and they throw away the rest. What's important is that you know that you are the one who decides what stays and what goes. It's up to you. That's important because sometimes your actions or your thoughts determine what your actions will be. It may determine how you feel. It may bring about undesirable emotions. James tells us, but every man or woman as well is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. What we need to do is to catch it before it becomes an issue. We should be aware of our right and our wrong desires, things that we become obsessed with. Recognize what is of God and what is not from God. We're given a warning in Proverbs chapter 23. He says, when you sit down with the ruler, consider diligently what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Wilt thou set thy eyes upon riches which are not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Eat not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So don't put yourself in a position that you would be doing, tempted to do something against God. If you got a problem with alcohol, don't go to a bar. That's just, you know, if you got a problem with buying, don't go to the store. How many of us receive in the mail, probably on a weekly basis anymore, you get an invitation, hey, have a free lunch at Red Lobster. Right? What are they trying to do? They're trying to sell you something. Everything from coffins, life insurance, timeshares, you name it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So beware. Now, thoughts come from a variety of sources. Sometimes it might be even from the devil. In the Gospel of John, the scriptures tell us that when the supper was ending, the devil, having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Many, many years ago, I was driving home from a class, and there was a brother that had preached a message, and his message was good. But all of a sudden, as I'm driving down the interstate, all these thoughts started bombarding my head. They were just asking me, telling me that I was very inadequate. And I tell you, it was just so overwhelming. It was so real. It was like somebody took a wet blanket and just threw it on me. I was just bombarded with this. Thoughts kept coming saying that I would never be like that. Thoughts were coming saying that I was rotten, that I fell short, that I could never be like that, that I could never preach. Well, after a little bit of self-examination, I realized that I was not living in sin. I hadn't done anything wrong. There was no reason for any of these thoughts to be coming. And so I just stopped and I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And you know that weight just lifted off. Spiritual warfare is real. Jesus reveals in the word that evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, all these things come from your heart. So you have to make your heart right in order for your thoughts and everything else to be right as well. I want to ask you something. What if a thought came into your mind, I need to comb my hair, I need to brush my hair? Is that of you or is that from Satan? Or is that from God? Well, if it happens right now, who do you think it came from? You'd say the devil, wouldn't you? If you'd say yourself, I'd say you got a serious problem with vanity, don't you? another source about yourself. You do have your own thoughts. You have feelings. You have emotions. Some are good. Some are neither good or bad. Some may be acted upon. Others might be put on the back burner for you to consider, maybe things for you to do, some things you need to give more time to, just be silent about. We always keep in the back, we need to keep in the back of our minds a passage from 1 John. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father." I tell you, I appreciate art. I appreciate the time and the effort that it takes for people to do a painting. I collect the stuff that is usually God's creation. It's just captured in a moment of time, much like a photograph. But I can't purchase everything I like. I have to put a restraining order on myself to hold back because I really like it. You might have something like that in your own life. What is your perception? Except desires, things that you really like. You may have to put a knife to your own throat or whatever if you really, you know, gorge on food or something. If you like all-you-can-eat buffets, you know, you have to stop sometime. But we need to watch out in our lives for lazy thoughts as well, the ones that keep you from your responsibilities and keep you from being productive. Proverbs says, a slothful man says, there is a lion outside. I'll be slain in the streets. The same slothful man probably says it's cold outside, and so he doesn't go plow the fields. Let me tell you, folks, pride is never spoken of in a very good light in the Bible. It's not a good attribute. Nebuchadnezzar, he had several dreams. Well, one of his dreams involved a tall tree, and it had huge branches and birds were in it. It gave plenty of shade and all this kind of stuff. And then in that same dream, there was a voice that came down and said to cut it down, hew it into pieces. Well, he got the interpretation of it. He was pre-born. He was already warned that that spoke about him. It took about a year, and then Nebuchadnezzar came in to the castle, the house that he was staying in, and he said, isn't this a fine kingdom that I have built, for myself? He was removed from power that very same day, and he was made to eat grass like the cattle for 7 years until he came to the conclusion that it is God that raises up, it is God that puts down. There are times in our life when we have to make decisions based on other people. Remember when Moses sent 12 spies into the land to see what it was like? They returned with fruit and samples of what was growing in the fields. They had grapevines that were so long and full that it took two people to carry them, and they carried them between a rod on their shoulders. Two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, encouraged the people, telling them, let's go and take it for a possession, just as God promised us. However, there were 10 spies that said the opposite. They agreed that there was stuff there, good things, milk and honey like God had promised, but they said that there were giants. There were walls on their castles and their cities that they could not, you know, penetrate. They couldn't beat them. And that's who the people believed. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. What we need to do in life is to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. I believe that God would have our thoughts to line up with His Word for the most productive, enjoyable life in this fleshly body of ours. Our passage mentioned bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Word of God is the greatest source for decisions, the greatest source for answers. It's mentioned as a part of the armor of God. It's not going to fail you. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In fact, if you will read the word, it will protect you. I read a few devotions in the morning as I'm having my coffee, and I'm totally amazed about how many times God will use these most obscure verses to speak to an individual. I recall one story where this missionary family was in a country, and the communists had come in to take over that town. Well, they took the father, shipped him off somewhere else. The wife was there with a couple of their kids, and they came and they got her. Well, they brought the wife in to interrogate her. All the while, she's wondering about the status of her children. She's worrying a little bit. Well, that morning, she had been reading, or the Lord opened up a scripture to her in Jeremiah, and that particular passage said that your children are taken care of. They're protected. So when the man, communist fella, he come in there and he began to interrogate it. He started telling her that, you know, your husband's, he's being jailed, he's killed or whatever. We're torturing him. We got your children. We're doing what we want with them. You know, they're being tortured as well. If you don't do what we tell you, you're going to be tortured. And the woman spoke up and she said, "Well, I believe God." And this is what he said. And she gave him that passage, what the Lord had showed her about taking care of her children. The man all of a sudden got red-faced and he was furious and he left out that door. You know why? Because everything that he had told her about her family was a bold-faced lie. And he couldn't stand the truth. It was all a lie. She later learned that her children had been taken care of by a neighborhood family. And her husband, they were all reunited shortly thereafter. I want to encourage you to get into God's Word. I want to encourage you to memorize verses. Have favorite ones that you can bring to mind. I want to encourage you to get yourself something like this. This is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Every single word of the Bible is in this book, and it tells you where to find it. Even as little as the word "there," you'll find it in here. Now, this is an exhaustive version of it, but it is a tool. It is a tool that if you remember just one word of a verse, you can find it in here. You want to look up the word incense. You can find the word incense everywhere in the Bible, and it even gives you the sentence that it's in. So you can find the exact word and how it's used. It even has a section where you look at numbers in the back, and you can find the original meaning, the word that it came from. This is a tool. It's very handy. Like I said, you find one word. But today, you could probably find an app that works on your phone that does the same thing. There's probably apps, I know there is, for computers. So I encourage you, get yourself something like that. It's a handy tool. Part of bringing, like I say, encourage yourself in the Word. Have verses that you can remind yourself of. Remember David? Brandon preached on him a while back. He told a story about when the band of soldiers had come while he was out doing whatever, conquering one group of people. While he was gone, another nation came and took his wife, his children, everything he owned, and they took off. Well, after David got over the immediate shock and everything, trauma of it all, the Word says that he encouraged himself in the Word. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what we need to do in times of goodness, in times that bad things happen. And part of bringing into captivity every thought is fighting off depressing thoughts. You may wake up not feeling well. You may look at all the troubles around you. It may look like there's no hope. There's no way that this is going to end well. I like the story that Jim spoke of last week. The story about Hezekiah. He's one of favorite people in the Bible to read for different reasons. But Jim spoke about how, you know, the enemy had come in, and he gave him all these letters talking about how the Babylonians were going to come in and, you know, destroy the city and take the people captives and burn it and all this kind of stuff, take prisoners. What did Hezekiah do? He went and sought God. He went into the temple of God, and the word says that he spread out all the letters. He presented them before God, and that's what you and I need to do. That's what we need to do with our troubles. We need to spread them out. Some of our problems today in our families are so complex, the same in our workplace. We say that this person did this, that person did that, the wife did this, the husband did that, he's not working, who's going to take care of the children, how are we going to pay the bills, I don't have money for that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. There might be 100 different thoughts that come into one different event in our life. But God knows them all, and he wants you and I to spread them all out before him. Name each person, name each problem, and commit them to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord and see how he handles each and every situation. Because he knows what's best for each and every one of us. It's one thing to concede, to intercede for people on their, you know, on behalf of somebody. It's very admirable, and scriptures encourage us to do that. But you have to keep in the back of your mind somewhere that, you know, you're not responsible for what other people do. It's their choice, whether we like it or not. Psalms 43, verse 5, asks a question. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." In taking captive our thoughts, we have to take control. We might have to change the subject in our minds. We may need to start praising the Lord, start singing songs to him. Change the subject if you're overwhelmed with stuff like that. First thing in the mornings, one of the first things we have to do is what? Stand. We get up out of bed. Standing is a part of the armor of God. To resist the devil, and he will flee. We must stand against the things that are trying to trick us, trying to deceive us. Ask yourself some of these questions. Does the Word of God promise to supply all your needs? Did Jesus say that he would never leave you? Did he say he would keep you from falling and present you faultless before the Father's throne? Are his thoughts good thoughts? Is he the rewarder of those who diligently seek him? The answer to all these questions is yes. So why do we worry? Why do we fret? Hope in God. One of my favorite verses is found in Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I will leave you with the passage that I refer to as biblical positive thinking. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We pray that it be encouragement for us, Teach us how to live our lives more perfectly and to your honor and glory. We thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for your holy words you give us to help us to learn and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.